there. Oh my god.
We gotta get out of here.
Then open the door and I just want you to run, okay?
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Contiki Podcast, broadcast to you from quarantine in Brooklyn, New York. I'm your host, Eric Mahoney. This is the place where you can drop by and get double feature film recommendations from some of your favorite artists, musicians, and filmmakers. You know what dawned on me as I was hanging up my family's fabric masks to dry this afternoon? How quickly the abnormal can become normal. It's really strange. I mean, I think this whole quarantine process and pandemic has been a very surreal experience, and it's striking to me how quickly humans can sort of adapt to that and just get in a different mode and operate out of that as if it's completely normal. The first time I went to the grocery store, I remember I was completely freaked out. I had my mask on and gloves, and I lost my shopping list between the car and the line to get in because I was so like frazzled and freaked out, and everything looked weird and isolated, and there was a long silent line to get in where no one was looking at anyone else or being friendly. Everyone had masks on. It was just very bizarre. And within the span of a couple of weeks, like I pulled up yesterday, I put my mask on, I got in line, everyone says hello. You know, people are joking around. We go inside, there's music on. It's weird, but it's now the new normal temporarily. And yeah, it just kind of struck me today. Again, hanging up masks on a clothesline and just kind of stepping back and taking that in for a second, looking at those things hanging there and knowing the reason why there are, you know, surgical masks hanging on my clothesline. And that I was just going about hanging them to dry as if it was completely natural. Just strange. And I know that a lot of people have gone through, you know, tremendous and horrific hardships, you know, and wars and much, much worse things than this. I'm certainly not equating this experience to the atrocities that have happened throughout the course of human history. But it is, you know, one of the strangest things I've ever encountered. And it just struck me as is bizarre how quickly we can kind of pivot and get into that mode and just operate that way. It's kind of awesome the way that we can do that and seeing my kids adapt to that and just, you know, completely function in this new way of homeschooling and not seeing friends and being on Zoom meetings and just doing all these things that are not, you know, typical kid things and adapting to that. It's very striking and it's kind of awesome. So I guess that's my silver lining sermon of the day. On the program, we have a man who is an incredible artist. And I use the word artist because he wears so many hats. He is a comedian. He is a dramatic actor. He's a musician. He's a writer. He's a producer. Fred Armisen is on the show. You might know Fred from his work on Saturday Night Live or his show Portlandia or his show Documentary Now or the dozens and dozens of film credits or from being the drummer on the Seth Meyers show where he kind of heads up the late night band there, which is an all-star band of exceptional indie rockers. Fred's just everywhere and he's incredibly talented. And he also brought two films to the table, which were very surprising to me. I learned a little bit more about the psyche of Fred Armisen today. A surprise pick combo. And a pick that also is in a genre we have not covered on the show yet, which has been really exciting. So let's get into it and head on over to my conversation with Fred Armisen.
Hey, Fred.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I can. What's going on?
Nothing. How are you? I'm here in LA and home, and I just feel like everyone is going through the same thing. You know, everyone feels pretty much the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here. I'm in Brooklyn. I don't know. My expectations are sort of just at a base level right now. We're all like, you know, we have plenty of food and we're healthy and we have, you know, a place to stay and everyone's good. And so that's great. I feel fortunate. You know, there's a lot of people that can't check all those boxes. So it's you know, I feel lucky.
I go through the same thing all the time where I'm like, well, I'm here at this house, you know, that's something.
And, for sure.
And I'm, you know, and I'm healthy and, you know, not, you know, really like worried. And I mean, I'm, you know, I've got the usual worries, but it could be a lot worse. So I'm with you.
For sure. Yeah. So what are you doing during the day? I mean, I see you, I know that you guys are playing in the band every day for the show. I've seen you on SNL. Like what are you doing to kind of occupy your time?
A lot.
Are you writing?
There's some writing. Yeah. We're working on a documentary now, a couple other projects. And all the stuff for Seth Meyers and for SNL, that takes up a lot of time, you know, just to set up the camera and like, you know, what takes a long time is uploading. I feel like a lot of my job now is like just waiting for something to upload and labeling it is a lot of data entry of just like labeling what date and what song and all this stuff. It's pretty, so I record on GarageBand. It's like a million things at once. So it's kind of, that part's kind of funny that my job has become so clerical.
Yeah. Fascinating how we've all become very nimble in this situation.
Yeah. In some ways, I kind of don't mind it because I think jamming is overrated anyway. Like enjoying music is even overrated. You know, like, oh man, we sound great. I kind of like the jobbiness of it, that it's like so jobby and like, here's the drum track and they add to it. And then when it's on screen, when I see it on the show, I'm very happy with the result. So there's something very kind of, it really does feel like a factory. And I think that's like a really good way to make things is this. I think the whole thing of like, oh man, we really got into it is just, you know, I don't think it's useful to anybody.
Right. Cool. Well, man, thanks for being on the show. I really appreciate it. This has been a fun kind of exercise for me to do to keep busy, you know, while I'm at home.
Just
call people and I really appreciate you coming on. It's been fun just to call people and talk movies a little bit, and then more specifically just have them kind of pair two things together. I've had some really interesting results. Yours were actually a little surprising to me. I didn't know that you were sort of a big fan of this particular genre. So can you kick off what your double feature recommendation would be for me?
So it's The Strangers from, I believe, 2008. I purposely didn't start Googling or like, you know, I didn't rewatch these movies. Like I kind of like just looking at the memory of them and their impact on me. And so The Strangers, and then Hereditary, which came out, I think, last year. So there's two versions of remembering how a movie affects you. You know, like, there's the kind of cool card of, like, I'm going to pick this cool movie and that cool movie. And, you know, the look is so, it's from a certain time. So that, there's nothing wrong with that. But I try to remember movies that I saw multiple times that moved me in a way that like my memory of them is like, it's really, really imprinted in my brain. The feeling of it where I'm not thinking about the skill of how it was made. I'm not thinking about, oh, it was very interesting that they, none of that. I like the feeling. And like those movies, Strangers, it might be one of my favorite movies ever because if you remember, there's like a sort of trio. There's a trio of killers. And they all had masks on. And there's something about that trio, that I just love. I love that. There's something about them that was so mysterious. But they didn't make it so mysterious in the movie where like they're just all in shadows. They're just like these kind of goofy masks, but not too goofy. oh, I loved it. And for me, there's a message in the movie, right? So the movie is this couple goes out to like this guy's summer home, and they're terrorized by this trio. This guy and his two female companions, and they're just terrorized. And it's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. There's nothing mystical about it. It's just that they keep messing with them. And the first time they mess with them is that they knock on the door at 4 o'clock in the morning. I think it's either 2 or 4 a.m. And
That's right.
And I don't know how they thought of this, but you know, when you're up that late and there's a loud pounding on the door, that's got to be the scariest thing. That really scares me. And I think the actors, when they show them, you see their fear in there, like the shock of hearing a noise that loud. So they go to the door, and the girl at the door is like, "Is Tamara home?" And he's like, "I think you got the wrong house." And she's like, "Are you sure?" Oh, that's such a scary question. You know. Oh, no, it might be the right house. And I think that, like, as opposed to like a monster voice, you know what I mean? And I think that, like, for me, the message is like, I don't like the idea of like summer homes anyway, and the countryside, and like, I want to get away. And that's what this guy did. Like, he had like his, you know, getaway cottage or whatever. And I think I'm against those places. I don't know why. I just like, I like being in a city. I like being in a place, you know, where there are people around. It's just, so I kind of felt like they're, you know, being terrorized is very like deserved. I'm like, yeah, you shouldn't go out. What is this thing of like getting away from it? I just don't like the idea of getting away from it. And so they keep messing with them, and they do it in a really creative way. Like, I think they pull out a cell phone battery out of the guy's phone, and they leave it on a chair or something. Little things like that. And then there's one where they, as they're upstairs, I think, they keep putting on a record, and it's Merle Haggard, Mama Tried. So can you imagine how scary that is to be on one floor of a building and then someone turns on a record downstairs?
Oh, that record thing totally freaked me out, man. That totally freaked me out. That and in particular, the scene where Liv Tyler is like standing in the kitchen, I think, and the guy with the sack head guy kind of appears just around the corner, and you see that he sees her. Is so so creepy and horrifying to me. But yeah, the leaving of the hint leading up to the act is what is just terror inspiring. You're right. I agree with you 100%.
And yeah, that scene with the sackhead guy was a total shock. I don't know how they did it, but that was really surprising to me. The timing of everything is like always a surprise. Even with the car that comes down the driveway, or the truck, as they're trying to get away. Really, really good. And that Merle Haggard record, see, that's the other thing that I really like, is that like, I like that they pick, you know, there's always a temptation to pick an ironic song. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
Movie,
yeah.
They'll pick something that's like too sunny or too poppy. So if there's like a joke, you know, like, oh, wow, well, I guess this song isn't so happy after all. But they pick kind of a dark song, which kind of, I really like that they did that, because they didn't pick some, you know, 60s poppy song. And it also turned me on to Merle Haggard. I had never heard that song before. And that sound, you know, that little slide guitar sound and stuff, and that beat, because of that, I think that might be the first country record I ever bought. And it's 2008.
Oh, interesting.
Was that Merle Haggard one. Just because I bought it on iTunes, and I was like, what is it? And I didn't know who he was, and that was my introduction to him.
Oh, cool.
And I've gotten into Merle Haggard later, like because of the country music documentary, I've gotten into him more. But that was the first. I just feel like I was just drawn to that, what I know now is a Bakersfield sound, but it's because of that movie. There's also the Joanna Newsom songs on that in that movie too. But that's the record they keep putting on repeat. Oh my God, it's so spooky. It makes that song scarier now. And then I read an interview with the director who based it on the Manson murders, loosely. And just the idea of this randomness of how killers will pick a house and, you know, just do that. So I kind of, that's what I liked about it, was that it was the simplicity of it. Just a simple, scary movie. That trio brings, the image of that trio and even their voices brings me so much happiness. To this day, I wish there was a statue of that in my backyard.
Why is that?
You know when there are things in your life that like there's an aesthetic that just resonates with you. That's one of them. So you know, picture, I don't know, Kraftwerk in 1981 or the Beatles in 1968 or you know, whatever it is, that trio like that, something about the even the way that they're posed and there's something about it that works for me. It's like properly scary and fun at the same time. And whoever the art director is, just did a good job in not going overboard with, you know, the goofiness of it. Like those masks are just the right mask. They're just right.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think what's so terrifying, I mean, to me, there's sort of two genres of horror film. There's sort of the absurd or the make-believe or the supernatural, if you will. And then there's the really down and dirty kind of simplistic, this could happen, has happened kind of film, which this falls into, which for me is exponentially more terrifying because of the relatability of it, you know. But yeah, I agree. I think those masks look like masks that someone who would do this would pick up. If it wasn't like over the top. You know, it seemed like very, like just very probable that these people would pick those, and they are properly horrifying and mysterious. And yeah, I mean, these kind of films, real, I love them. I have love hate with them because of the reality that they're sort of seated in. I find them so troubling, but I also, it's like, I want to look away, but I can't, kind of a thing. But I agree with you, the simplicity of that. I mean, I really liked the Blair Witch Project when it came out for the same reason, is that it just seemed I could just very easily transform myself into being one of those kids doing like a silly film project and running around the woods, and then this thing happens, you know. I thought the simplicity of that really worked for me too.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I was really, 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 really scared in that one too. One more thing about The Stranger is that I saw it 3 times and I saw it alone. And I remember someone telling me that it was really scary. And when I went to the movies, I remember my hands were up at my face and I was afraid of jumping and poking my own eyes out. So I had to put my hands down. So my hands are on my face. And then I was like, if I jump too much, I'm going to scratch my own face. I have to put my hands down. The side story.
So is this something you would literally do? Are you this much of a fan of the genre that you would put on two horror films back to back and go for like a full 4 hours of terror?
You know, so yes and no, in that like my attention span for sitting in one place and watching something has shortened, like everybody else has, I'm guessing. But
yeah,
so yes, but I seem to really need a break in between stuff. Where I remember when I used that wasn't the case. So who knows why that is. But anyway, yes. But at the same time, I do like them together. Just because I don't feel like our best days of filmmaking are like, you know, way in the past. I do feel like whatever's happening with horror movies, with, you know, Midsommar, I'm loving it. There's been a bunch recently that I just feel like, I don't know, I just feel like they're great. And then Hereditary, for some reason, was a sort of, like, I guess, I don't know, a peak of it. It was like sort of like Sergeant Pepper of now, you know? Like, I loved it. And then I loved it. So it's different. It's very different than The Strangers. But I loved all the turns it took that I did not see coming. Where I was like, that is messed up. That is a messed up thing to have happened. And I guess I don't want to give too much of it away, but there's just things within the family and that drive that are like really shocking that I never could have come up with. But then what I loved most was the ending. And then I loved the ending even more when I saw a review in the New York Times of it who did not like the ending, right? So,
you know, but this was weird. It was kind of, this was sort of polarizing. It was very much hyped because, like, I think this was like the follow-up from A24 who put out The Witch that was very hyped up too. And this was sort of their like next big horror film, which was done very well. And I remember the audience reactions to this were very poor, but like some critics liked it, but it was very polarizing. I thought it was incredibly well done. And I thought it was even like very much in The Exorcist kind of vein.
Totally.
But yeah, it was very polarizing. What did the review say? What was their issue with it?
Well, they were upset that the ending had to do with satanic people, with Satan. And I was very, I felt so much the opposite. I'm like, when I pay to go see a movie, I want to see satanic people. I want to see people floating up into a treehouse, and I want to see satanic rituals. That's what I pay for. I want my horror movies to be horror movies,
right?
With the devil and candles and blood and people being possessed. It's what I wanted from a movie. It's so delivered with the mystery and like true horrorness of it. I'm like, that is what it's about. That's what I want.
Yeah, I'm with you. Could you imagine if Rosemary's Baby didn't have that bow at the end to wrap it up? I mean, that would be...
Come on. Exactly. Why try to turn it into something else? Or, you know, it doesn't... The search for some other kind of a meaning is like, it's the wrong, it's just the wrong genre to do that with. That's the wrong place. You know, and it's like, and it's very much like death metal, you know, or black metal, where I'm just like, no, I want the album cover to be, I don't want to be able to tell what it is. I want it to be, you know, scary. That's the kind of scary I want out of death metal. Like death. You know? It's like, that's what I go there for.
Totally. Well, just to back up one second, just to contextualize this too, in case someone hasn't seen this. Basically, what happens is the matriarch of this family passes away, the sort of grandmother of the family. It's Toni Collette's mother, who does, by the way, she's fantastic in this, in my opinion, as well. I think she does a great job.
Best thing I've ever seen her in. Best thing. She's so good.
So good. And her husband is Gabriel Byrne. And then she starts to kind of unravel. She has two children who are different types of very creepy. And then supernatural, bizarre things then sort of start to occur. And then the whole thing is a bit of a mystery leading up as to what's going on. Her own sanity is also very much in question. Which is interesting because I think at times you're not really sure if this is a internal sort of psychological breakdown that she's suffering or are these things real? So there's this kind of mystery and continued heightened bizarreness that continues to happen to the family as you sort of unravel, you know, who her mother was and who she was involved with and all that kind of stuff. So just to kind of conceptualize that a little bit. But yeah, it sort of culminates with the fact that her mom was, we will just say her mom was involved with, yes, sort of a satanic cult, and all of this stuff is actually occurring and occurring for a purpose. But yeah, she's phenomenal. She's phenomenal. I think she won a bunch of awards. I think she won like an Independent Spirit Award for like best lead that year.
For that movie?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
She's
a powerhouse in this.
Yeah. Yeah, really. She's so good in it. I think that's what draws you into it, are the people.
Yeah.
I think the other thing that kind of like is a powerful tool in both these movies is the power of the automobile, like the car, with the strangers, when they try to get into that car and there's a truck that kind of like pulls up and smashes into them, that feels believable. The cars are scary things and you can get injured in them, without dying. And I just feel like it's a really good device. And the car thing that happens in Hereditary is really shocking. And I could never.
Yeah.
God. Oh, God. It's so good. It's such a.
Yes. Good... Things take a major turn there.
Oh, my God. I just. I've already seen it and I'm so surprised. I'm so surprised that it happened. Oh my God. Yeah, everyone's good in it. And I think the daughter had like a clicking sound or something she did with her mouth.
Yes, she clicked to communicate, which then resurfaces later in the film. Yes, yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good little detail. That's a good one.
Agreed. Cool. Well, yeah, man, I think this is a very creepy combination. I like this. We haven't had a horror, back-to-back horror recommendation yet, so this is good to kind of make sure we're covering all territory, and I like this. And I also happen to agree with you about the remoteness of, like, country homes and so forth. I have my own personal neuroses is very much rooted in being terrified of, like, the country as well for some reason.
I'm the same. I find it very, very scary, especially at night when you look up into the trees and you don't see the trees anymore. You just see the silhouette. It's very, very scary to me.
Yes, we moved to Westchester for like a year, and came immediately back to the city. Like we had some sort of like country fantasy. That I had, and like the minute, like the I remember the night that we like moved in and we first slept there, and like the darkness of and the quiet just absolutely put me over the edge. Like I was terrified,
yeah.
And I was like, we have to get back to New York City where it's safe.
Yeah, there's like a real feeling of powerlessness. Like the nature is so powerful.
Yeah,
so powerful. Then like. It feels like there could be like an avalanche of rocks or trees or something it makes me feel so like just insignificant. Nothing against it. Yeah. I mean, I know it has beauty, but the idea of a push to get away from it doesn't feel comforting to me. It doesn't feel like getting away from it. It feels like a different form of fear that's actually more unpredictable to me.
Me too. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That's like in Blair Witch, I'm so sorry to keep going. I'll make it really quick, but I'll say in Blair Witch, I think there's a point where they're lost in the forest. And
oh yeah, well, I mean they're lost like the whole time. Yeah,
but I think the first moment where they're like, wait, no, it's this way, and I was like, oh no, I don't like that. I don't like that.
Oh wait, there is a scene where like they lose the map or something and they all turn on each other. Yeah.
That's the one. Oh, I don't like it.
That's what fucked me up bad is when they lost the map and then they were all arguing and then it's hopeless. They're just like they're like teenagers who cannot find their way out and they're being hunted. And it was like, oh no.
Yeah. I would have had the same argument pointing at trees and I know that rock. Oh no.
Yes. Agreed. Well, thank you, Fred. I really appreciate it, man. This is a fun conversation. I really appreciate you taking the time out and giving these recommendations. I think they're great.
My pleasure, and thanks for asking me to do it.
Cool, man. Well, thanks a lot, man. I really appreciate it. It's nice to connect with you again, and be well.
All right, you too.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. So that's our show. I always love talking to Fred. He's just such a warm and funny guy. Really love having him on the show. Appreciate him being on. Again, his picks for a double feature film combination were The Strangers from 2008 and Hereditary from 2018. Two really, really good horror films. So if you're in the mood to be scared out of your mind for many hours on end, I would recommend watching those two back-to-back as well. Also, very exciting to hear the new season of Documentary Now is in the works, so keep an eye out for that. And you'll see Fred all over the place, as usual. Playing drums, popping up on SNL, and I'm sure that there will be many, many film and television projects. So keep an eye out for Fred. Follow us on Instagram at Contiki Podcast, as well as subscribing to us wherever you get your podcasts. Please rate and subscribe us so we know that you're out there and you're enjoying the show. And drop me a line on Instagram as well. It's always nice to hear from people and get their film recommendations as well. Really cool. Once again, thanks so much for dropping by. Please continue to stay in, stay sane, and be well. Look forward to seeing all of you on the other side of this.